Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we brought up some quick comebacks that we often hear when we are in discussions with members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And we are kind of going through some of these comebacks to show that they're really not all that convincing. Even though many Latter-day Saints repeat these things, and we've heard them over and over and over again, they're not really good arguments, and they're not all that difficult to respond to. We're going to continue today with a few more that we have actually heard ourselves and have received in emails, heard on the streets, and we're going to give a real quick synopsis of what they are and a little quick response that you can probably give to a person like that. What's the first one we're going to discuss today, Eric?
Well, it goes like this. The church does so much good. Why would you be against that?
And I've heard that many times.
Oftentimes, it's look at the fruit.
Right. I don't think that you and I have ever complained about some of the quote-unquote good things that the Mormon Church does. There's no doubt that the Mormon Church has, for instance, a humanitarian part of it that will help out in times of disasters and things like that. They obviously also have a welfare program that helps the needs of the members in their church and things like that. We've never criticized any of that. Our disagreement with Mormonism is more on a theological level. We are looking for some theological consistency between what Mormon leaders, Mormon scriptures have taught, and what the Bible actually says. We are also asking for some honesty coming from the leadership from downtown Salt Lake City. So we wouldn't be against the good that the Mormon Church does. However, we feel that a lot of the doctrine that comes forth from the Mormon Church is not good, mainly because we believe that theological beliefs comes with it eternal consequences. Now, Mormons believe that too. Mormon leaders have been very outspoken in saying that if you believe in false doctrine, that you will be condemned in the next life. We hold to that same position. Of course, our difference is in how we define what false doctrine is. So we wouldn't criticize any good that the Mormon Church does. We are only looking at what we think is bad theology.
Well, and that's bad fruit.
That is bad fruit. You're absolutely correct.
Eternal consequences. The next question, are you saying 14 million people are wrong, talking about how many people are in the Mormon Church?
Well, you were there with me in Manti when that young lady said something very similar to that. I was kind of taken back at how sure she was that this was a good response. What she was doing, folks, is we were down on the streets of Manti and we were having a discussion, and she got very frustrated with me, and she looked and kind of turned to the crowd and kind of waved her arm and said, "Could all these people be wrong?" And I very calmly said, yes, absolutely they could be wrong.
Could a billion Muslims be wrong?
Well, see, a Mormon would have to assume, yes, that's true. If they don't believe that Islam is telling the truth, they would have to say that 1 billion Muslims are wrong. But why is it they don't tend to carry that argument to its fruition here? I mean, to its logical conclusion, I should say, because it doesn't make sense that just because you have a large group of people that automatically assumes they must be right. It's a horrible argument.
Well, 14 million out of 6 billion plus, I mean, that's a drop in the bucket when you consider that.
It really is. When you look at Mormonism on a grand religious scale, I mean, Mormonism is just what you said, a drop in the bucket. It's very small. Now, here in Utah, of course, it doesn't look that way, because they are the majority religion here. And it's easy to come to Utah and see so many churches all set up. I guess a Mormon would probably assume that that must have something to do with their truthfulness.
One related to that is we're the fastest growing church in the world.
And we've talked about this on past broadcasts. Statistics do not show that. And what I would do if a Mormon was to say, well, we're the fastest growing church in the world, I said, well, if you think that's an argument that proves the truthfulness of your church, would you think if I could prove to you that it's not the fastest growing church in the world? Would that tend to make you agree that maybe there could be something wrong with it?
Well, and what we did show is that the church is growing at 2% or less, where it used to be growing at 4% or more. And so its growth has actually gone in half of what it actually used to be. And a group like the Jehovah's Witnesses, who are half the size of the Latter-day Saints, are growing with more people and double the growth. And so if you're going to use that, be careful, because the Mormon church is not the fastest growing.
If you're a Latter-day Saint that's been using that argument, here's my homework for you. I want you to go and check your growth statistics. Go find a church almanac, for instance, and you're going to find that your convert baptism rate, it peaked way back in 1990. Yep. 1990 is when the convert baptism rate peaked. And it has not reached that number since.
Before the internet.
So I would caution any Latter-day Saint that tries to use, you know, that argument as somehow that's proof that Mormonism is true.
Next one, people leave because they can't live up to the high standards.
We hear this a lot. Normally when we respond to people and we'll talk about how people are leaving the church, as we've done a show recently, how they're actually leaving in droves, they are having a real retention problem. Usually the response from many of the Latter-day Saints who have written us or even told us personally will say that it's because they just cannot live up to the high moral standards, that they are looking for ways to sin, and that's why they leave the Mormon church. It's not that it has anything to do with the fact that Mormonism could be wrong, or they find some part of its history that's unpalatable and can't be explained properly. It's just they want to be hedonist. That kind of a response, I really think, is born out of a person's own pride, which if that's the truth, then that individual isn't even living up to the high standards of Mormonism, because according to Alma 5 in the Book of Mormon, that if you're not stripped of pride, you're not even prepared to die. But yet many Latter-day Saints use that as an argument, as, see, I'm willing to live up to the high standards. They weren't. That's why they left. And yet we have explained many times when I'm talking to Mormons who use this argument that I know personally many ex-Mormons who didn't want to leave the Mormon church actually left kicking and screaming because they found it to be false. But yet they were giving up that security that the Mormon church gives them as a community. And it certainly does do that. It doesn't give them theological truth, but it does give them a sense of security as far as the community is concerned. And a lot of Latter-day Saints don't want to leave that because they know it's going to mean leaving their family and friends, maybe their job, their whole social status. It's a very difficult decision for Mormons to leave. They don't usually leave it that quickly. They just don't. So I don't think this is a good argument either.
Next question. Did someone in the church hurt you?
I actually had a woman ask me that question. It was during the Olympics when we were up here for an outreach, and I was standing across the street from the conference center on the North Temple, and a woman saw that we were handing out literature and we were talking to people, and she asked me that question, you know, did somebody hurt you? And I responded, no. As a matter of fact, all my experiences growing up with Latter-day Saints were very positive. I had good LDS friends. That's one of the reasons why I became interested in this type of work, was because they were basically, compared to other humans, they were very good people. And I think most Mormons are. And I was not hurt by them. I've been hurt by them since, okay, but certainly at that time, because I hadn't been doing anything critical of Mormonism, at least overtly, Mormons were treating me very well. That's changed in a lot of aspects, not always. But no, but that is a common thing.
Well, and I think a lot of the people assume that you and I and anybody else associated with this ministry must have at one time been Latter-day Saints. And so I think that's always a curiosity factor for Latter-day Saints when they see we're in this. And what was it that made you leave? And they oftentimes will, they're minds will run and what kind of adultery did you participate right. in, or you must have been really a bad person, or you're really hateful to go against the church. I think they're surprised. Wouldn't you think that you and I have never been Latter-day Saints, but we care so much about Latter-day Saints. That's why we're here in Utah.
That's a difficulty for most Mormons to accept, because if we are definitely doing out of a genuine concern and compassion for them, that tends to take a lot of the wind out of their sails.
Yeah.
How do you fight against that? Because if we're truly doing it for those reasons, then that term anti-Mormon goes right out the window. Because if we're not motivated by hatred or bigotry, and we're only motivated because of a genuine Christian concern for them, we certainly can't be called anti.
What, this is another question. What you say only strengthens my testimony.
I've never understood that comeback. It makes no sense to me. If I was talking, let's say, for instance, to an atheist, and he just kept peppering me with reason after reason after reason why my faith was not true, I would think it would be ludicrous to respond to them by saying, thank you for all that information that undermined everything I believe. You've only strengthened my testimony.
And that's the way it usually happens, too.
Yeah. And I don't understand that kind of thinking. That really makes my head spin.
Well, it just shows that what you have is a blind faith. And a blind faith that's not based in the facts or on the Word of God is going to be damnable.
You make a good point, because if they really had an intellectual faith or a reasonable faith, when somebody presents reasons that could undermine what you believe, it should result in it bothering you. And there are a lot of things that I have read over the years that are critical of Christianity, and I admit some of them, they're not all that serious, but some I don't really have an answer for. I have to look at this kind of stuff. Is this such a major thing that maybe I need to abandon my faith, or is it something that's not so major that I can live with that, put it on a back burner for a while? And I don't expect Mormons not to do that.
Well, when we see something like from a Dawkins or some of the new atheists, we look at what they say, and I'm surprised. I mean, they do sometimes come out with things that you have to really think about, but I'm surprised at some of the juvenile things that come out right. that you say, whoa, that's not really a test of my faith at all.
One last one, and then we'll close this show out. When you kick the church, you only kick it upward. I've heard that many times. And of course, that's implying that everything we're going to say in contradiction of what the church claims is only going to help it grow. That's not true. And Mormons need to look very carefully at that. The information that is out there is causing a serious detriment to the growth of the Mormon church. This argument, again, really makes no sense in light of the current context of what's going on.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear past editions of more than 100 shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is available on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the box that says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.